Miss Kenny kind of gave me a little help here this morning, but I think we'll get through it. I'll tell you a little bit about this story. I'm a kind of an old timer, so these words and songs, some of you will know, some of you may not know, but it goes back a good number of years when I felt I needed a dramatic change in my life and went through a long crisis. And I remember an old devotional book that my wife had, I guess when she was a kid in high school or early college, that I found, and I saw an article, a little poem in there about there's all the goals I must seek. And that was the turning point when I feel God really called me into ministry, along with one of my subcontractors who was going through an enormous serious bout with cancer, and I was so close to him, witnessed a lot to him. I won't get into all that story, but through that experience, one of the things I remembered, going to the viewing and going to the funeral, the place was packed out, and he made a comment in his testimony, young people, don't waste your life like I have. And that just grabbed my heart. I hope I don't get too emotional as I sing this, because I sing it so personal that often it makes me a little too nervous. So if I get along okay with it, and I said to God, I'll do what he cannot do. He went on to be with the Lord. And since that day on, I have carried his cross. Listen to the words here.
I walk one day along a country road, and there a stranger journeyed to, all bid beneath a burden of his load. It was Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus paid it all? I cried for Jesus and he spoke my name. His hand all bruised, red and torn, I stood to kiss away the marks of shame, the shame for me he had borne. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? My cross I'll carry till the crown appears, and then I'll reach my journey's end, where God himself shall wipe away all tears, and friend, full fellowship with friends. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all?
Well, I'm going to try to do you one more. many asked me to sing. I don't sing very much here. I enjoy the group we got too much, and they do a great job. And this song, I hope I know all the words to it, but I'm led to live. I think it has a story in it, especially as you get a little closer to your time to go home with God. And if I'm aware of it, I'm not scared of it. I just want to say, Lord, I want to get this journey right, and I want to finish it right. Let's see if I can get through it. You may have not heard it. Listen to the word, though. It's really good. It's sad and beautiful at the same time. Make any sense to you? Through this valley of this life I have wandered, and I've worked for Jesus all along the way. Now life's evening sun for me is setting, I am reaching the ending of my way. Lord, I've been faithful. In the harvest fields, Lord, I have done. But now my steps are growing weary. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. Looking back along this life, I live for Jesus. I can see how he's helped me along the way. But life's evening sun for me is setting, I am reaching the end of my way. Lord, I've been faithful in the service you have given me. In the heart done, but now my steps are growing weary. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go home.
They'll take you back a little bit when you listen to those words, won't they? Perhaps you're so young you don't think much about it, and that's good. Many years ago, that I would serve the Lord. Sometimes we get caught in complacency. We kind of get a little bored, or we get kind of a little tired. Is this thing live? I think I'll try to stay in this place. When God prays, you ever think about that a minute? If you were an all-knowing God, you were an all-powerful God, you were an all-present, you knew everything, would you pray? Think about that. Good point. Would you pray if you was a person that had all the authority, all the power, and could be any place, anywhere, on time, would you pray? So why would Jesus pray? Now, he's God. He's part of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We treat him as the three, but we treat him as one. Why would he pray? Why, of all people, would this Jesus Christ, the Israel Messiah, and our Savior need to pray? I don't need to pray when everything's going good, maybe. I better pray more. I've been on both sides of the fence. Enormous depression and loneliness and hurt and pain and uncertainty. I also know what it means to be prosperous and successful. And perhaps in pretty good health. But you still need to pray. After all, he's God. Right? I'm just going to give you an introduction to this thing. There's no way you want to stay here 2 hours listening to me preach on the sermon, the prayer. the Lord's Prayer. You got a whole insert in there. You can take it home with you, but I told Mark I'll pick up on this a little bit later. In Luke 6:12, we're told Jesus spent all night in prayer. Have you ever tried that? I got to midnight one time, and I got it 4 o'clock one morning. All night. Why? He also says in Mark 1:35, he woke up way before morning. Did you do that this morning? Did I? Watch this. After the miraculous feeding of several thousand people on the northern shore of Galilee, some who witnessed this miracle wanted to make Jesus the king right on the spot. Instantly, they knew something supernatural happened here. They wanted to commit their life to Christ and follow him. But what did Jesus do in this perfect timing of all this success? What did he do? He responded by sending everyone away before going off to himself to pray. Whenever the activities and all the challenges of life and all the responsibilities, good and bad, often we just kind of push prayer into the corner or a sinner's prayer and we're on our way. Why would Jesus so choose in this miraculous event still say, I'm stepping aside for a while? Now, this is God. You'll understand why he prayed here in just a few moments. The question remains, why would Jesus model this prayer, who's God himself in the flesh? Why? I'm going to give you 3 reasons. First, to demonstrate our dependence on the Father. We're depending on God. I don't care how much technology you have, how much education, how much wealth, how many pity parties you have, how much successful, how much pain, you are still dependent on God. Some things simply belong to him. That's where it's hard. Our dependence will always, it won't be in the military strength. It won't be a high successful materialism world. Economy so great. Eventually it will come all the way back to our dependence on God. If his sun would stop shining, if he'd take the air out of that we breathe. I remember a time I may have shared this, but I see people side the road working in their gardens in a drought time, and here I'm on the way to church that morning, either to preach or just go to church. They're sitting down, and I said, the high probability this guy's not even going to go. And I said to myself, that garden's not going to do a thing if he doesn't have water. It's a good thing that God controls the things that we need, because the beach people would not want it to rain. The farmer's saying the same. He said, I want it all come to my crops. It's amazing how all these great needs that we have, that we do not have control of, God does. Number 2, to introduce a new relationship between us and the Father. To see the urgency, how important and how deep and how committed this relationship needs to be, either through his word or through prayer and through worship and through brothers and sisters in Christ. He's distinguishing the need of this close relationship, just like a husband and wife or parent and children. How close is that relationship? They're good. There's another one. And I like this one. To establish a new goal for his disciples. Our goal is to know how to influence people for the kingdom. That's the primary goal we live in this little season of life. Whose life am I touching? And we're all are doing that in some way or another. There's about 10 sermons up here. I guess you could stay all day, but I won't put you through that. To demonstrate our dependence on the Father, what does that mean? The very one who claimed he could forgive people's sins, the very one who insisted he had a timeless nature, the very one who exhibited the omnipotent or the all-knowing God, is seen engaging repeatedly in one of the most fundamental exercises of dependence, and that's prayer. When I did a study of our Lord's life, miracles were wonderful. Parables were wonderful. But I also did an in-depth study of what kind of commitment did he have to his Father under the most needed conditions. As God, he was independent of humanity. And he often demonstrated the nature as he cured diseases, forgave sins, and commanded natural forces on the sea to calm them down in the middle of the storm. He even took authority over the hostile demonic spirits and run all them pigs down into the river. Or a lake. This is God's part. As man, that's us. It was the only way he could probably help us to comprehend his greatness was to make him flesh and bones like us. To demonstrate the connection between his Son and his Father. To model what it means to be a Christian and committed and dedicated. And we all fall short many times. I can find myself drifting, casual getting along, looking at all the people who want you to do things. Demands are just endless. Schedules are full. Even if it ain't when it's all up in your mind, that's a battle zone in itself. There's a war going on up there. All the time. I know a verse I try to remember. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let his gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests made known unto God, and the peace of God which transcends all. I want to know what that peace of God transcends all understanding. How do you live in this world and embrace it and enjoy it? How do you live in this world and not let it contaminate you? Or use all your energy and time and resources? That's for you to answer. For me, it took a long crisis to get that right. It's me. I mean, I think I got a real whipping. And I needed every bit of it. That may not be always true. We know the Bibles, there's innocent people. And I'm not going, I just know for me. Had God had not interrupted that life for 2 years, it's hard to tell what I would be. I was a high-strung, go-getter, full of anger, impatient. I'm patient more than Glenda some things, though she'll tell you that. Give it to me, honey. I'll fix it. She had a little necklace all tangled up. It didn't worth fixing. I got a little stick pin, got my glasses. In a matter of a few seconds, maybe a minute or two, it was untangled. And then sometimes I don't have patience on a bus running 5 minutes early. I'm just a very prompt guy. I like to see things start early. I like to see them finish well and get on with business. But I have to be patient sometimes. As a man, he was dependent on his Father in heaven and often displayed this dependence in prayer. Likewise, he never acted out his own initiative. One of the most crucial things for me now is being able to hear, God, what are you saying? He says, my sheep know his voice. And for me, it takes a lot of work to diffuse all the things that go through this brain, and I'm glad it works. It takes a lot of discipline to say, shut up. Because I don't know about you, but my mind spins. I bet you some of yours do too. That's really a good thing when you need it. It makes a good medical physicist. It makes a good musician. It makes a good preacher. It makes a good ear man. I saw your picture in there. We need those things at times. We need it. It makes it good when you get in complicated root systems and you got this visual to look through the whole framing and you can actually see how this thing goes together. But when it's running all the time, it's not so good. And it's hard to, he's a temperament, personality, I don't know. I know God made lakes and he made waterfalls. You can decide whichever one you are. They're both refreshing, aren't they? I don't know why God gave me a lake at the back of my house. I wished it was a waterfall. I guess he's trying to tell me calm down a little bit. But when you get under these waterfalls, we've been at Niagara Falls, and you stand there and you see that awesome energy and that freshness and that mist comes from that. Are you consistent in that, your worship? Are you consistent in your spiritual life? You are with all the other things. That's what happened to me. I was so driven by, I don't think it was driven by money. I was just driven by just because I wanted to accomplish stuff. And God took that. He said, I don't want to change that. I don't want to change Matt Covet. You're going to have to live with me. Take it for what it is. They're good and bad here. But I'll just tell you this. He said to me clearly, I made you. And he made you. He always said, I'm about my Father's business. A lot of things are followed. Be a good parent. Support the church. Your general activities. Use your gifts for the Lord. But what I'm after is, where is the primary focus? I told Glenda, there was a time, and I don't mean to offend anybody, there was a time basketball, if I heard that thing bounce, I would shoot 1,000 free throws. I was so driven that I blew out my knee at the age of 29. I love watching my little girl play. Ella, she plays well, but she plays in the boundaries of her energy and her skill level. There are some kids that act like they're going to run 100 miles an hour. Not today. No way they're going to make a layup like that. Now you get professional enough, boy, they can just touch the backboard at high speeds and score. And as God said to me, man, I don't want to change you. I just want to use it more for my kingdom. I have a different goal for you. To introduce a new relationship. That's what it's about. This relationship. You asked that question. What had happened here? After walking with Jesus daily for 3 years, the disciples had become accustomed to having him around in every situation. Kind of nice to have backup music. I was all alone up here. I'm sure y'all were praying for me. But that backup music is really good. Maybe I should work more at that. When we get here as a group, we're learning a lot of stuff. I know I am a lot of your praise songs. I'm lost in them. I just play alone. But if I know the heart song and I can sing it from memory, then I play better with my guitar by note and hear. Might be limits to it, but as well as the stiffness of your fingers. I'm having trouble getting C chords. God only help me with L. So I got the little cheater you can stick up on there and help you out a little bit. My brother Tony, one of the best guitar players, he probably got it all, left me a little bit. He's a fine guitar player, one probably best in the area. My brother-in-law was too. And he's already having trouble with his shaking in his hands, and it really bothers him. He's done his whole life singing for the Lord. They were used to walking with Jesus. It's nice. Can you imagine what it'd be like? grab this to walk side by side with Jesus or your best friend? To walk out on the court with LeBron James and shoot basketball? But there's something I'm talking about much deeper here. And that's walking with God. And Jesus knew that. That's why he modeled this. He gave them every kind of thing to help them in this disciple journey. Well, when he was with them, if a storm came up on the lake, he could calm it. It'd be nice to have somebody ride along with you and say, well, a little rocky here, turbulence in the plane, we'll just calm it down. Wouldn't that be nice? It doesn't seem fair, does it? If thousands of hungry people needed lunch, he could produce it. We didn't run all the way down here and get a whole bunch of pizzas or go over here to the all-you-need bar. He did it right on the spot with two fish, wasn't it? And loaves of bread. If a question arose about paying the temple tax, well, he jerked the fish out of the water and said, here it is, the coin, right? Pay for it. These are miraculous events, and that's why these videos, do we ever get a clue what's going on with this power? You leave out of here, well, I didn't learn much because it's too much. But you learn a lot because how powerful he is. Whatever the need, whatever the question, whatever the problem, the disciples knew they could look to Jesus for the answer. Jesus knew his earthly life was coming to a close. Mine's coming. Some of yours is coming. All of you come eventually unless he comes and picks us up, but that would be a nice flight. It won't cost you a damn to do it either. Wouldn't that be an adventure? Can you imagine? I'd love that. Jump off. Here comes Jesus. Here I am flying all up through the clouds with Jesus. Oh, that would be an experience. I bet you don't get no roller coaster. He knew his ministry was closing. And he modeled such a relationship with God that if we study that closely, you'll understand and you'll know where the power is. It gives you awesome wisdom. It gives you spiritual discernment. It helps you make big, difficult choices. I used to make a lot of choices because I was gifted or had resources. I don't do that much anymore. But I know one thing to help you with that. When your motives are pure, you're innocent, and you've used all your understanding, you're wrong, he protects that. He says, I know your motive. I know your heart. But if you deliberately know better, there's a price to pay, especially without counsel. Jesus then prays what for? What we call the third party, the Holy Spirit. Man, do we need an outpouring of that today. Holy Spirit. There's a lot of good books written on it. Billy Graham's got a real good one on it. He prayed that they would be fortified. Protect them by the power of your name. That they would not be terrified by the upcoming attacks from Satan. He prayed that they would be unified. No dissension would fracture their vigor as a group. Jesus knew this would be vital for them to survive in the future. Now you can see why it's going to take two or three Sundays to preach this, because I hadn't got into Lord's Prayer. What I'm doing is, why would he pray? And then we're going to go, you got them all there, and I've broke them all down, and I put a lot of effort, commitment, with a lot of help from other sources to put together how to understand the Lord's Prayer. Because I tell you what, when he prays, you better listen. To establish a new goal. It's one thing to get out of debt, which we've done for many years. It's another thing to have a career. It's another thing to finish school. It's another thing to have a new home. It's another thing to have a great job.
Those are the part of the physical makeup that our needs are needed every day. But the ultimate goal is you be light and salt of the earth. That your testimony is somewhere is touching somebody. And I've been encouraged by a brother in Christ just recently. Spoke well to me. If we're honest, I'm closing here, we have to agree that the most of our prayers have simple focus and a simple goal. Us. Me. We often pray simple because we want something. I do. You've done it. It's natural. And it's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed of asking God. I remember one of my twin boys lost some money. Feel it was. He couldn't find it. I said, have you thought about praying? He said, no, Dad, I'll pray, and he finds it. Simple faith. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Ask God about a car or a dress or a boyfriend or a job. That's wonderful. We should. Because Jesus tells us to come to the Father and ask. But a Christian that I believe is really maturing and growing in Christ will do this. Not easy. You have a much higher goal in your life. You now begin to see your gifts, talents, and resources. Why do I have them? How should I leave them? I've been praying a lot about the estate planning. We have a will. How to invest. God, how is all this part of your kingdom work? My wife and I talk a lot about it. We've done that for years. How much higher goal in mind than merely taking care of our own needs? Prayer, highest aim, is not to get our will done in heaven. That's taken care of. They're all registered. I can't wait to get up and walk down the balcony to the hall of heaven and pull out this drawer where I didn't pray for because I didn't ask for it. I bet they're stacked. Can you imagine the resources and the power of prayer answered up in there? I had 6 prayers recently of my own. 4 of them have been answered. I'm still waiting on 2 more. It's not to get our will done in heaven. That's settled. You won't change anything in heaven. It's complete. It's perfect. Rather, it's to get God's will done on this little life that you have here on earth. Jesus' prayer was like this. Glorify your Son. So he can give glory back to you. Let me read that again. Jesus said to his Father, glorify your Son. That will enable me to be a testimony to glorify my Father. Giving it back to him. I brought you to this earth. So you can do the things you told me to do. We each have gifts and assignments that God wants us to do, and many of us are. In Romans 8:34, Paul says, Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. I thought about that for a moment. About him, I pray to God, and I say this. And I guess we do in indirect ways, but have you said, I come over here the other day and touched that cross, and I said, Jesus, will you pray for me? I won't say anymore. Lord, thank you so much for who you are.
What a privilege that you allow us, these old wrecked human beings, messy at times, sinful at times, and stubborn at times, and yet joyful at times, in your holiness and in your perfection, would allow us to talk about you, sing about you, and to serve you. God, I pray that our world would be awakened to the rains and the thunder, the earthquakes, the floods, and the sun burning, the heat and cold and snowflakes, each one are supposedly different, could acknowledge how you speak to us through nature in so many ways, so we can kind of fairly little bit comprehend of your greatness. Go with us. May we be inspired and encouraged and empowered to serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.